A quick podcast about podcasting. Should you do a podcast yourself to promote your business? We're going to talk about it in podcast 782, The Bob Davis Podcasts. By the way, it's winter in Minnesota, and that means you might have problems with plumbing, heating, and if you want help with that, you want reliable service, Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. I'll tell you more about it later in the podcast. Now, these days, when you look at medical insurance and medical care, you might think that the whole thing is a hopeless mess, and there's nothing anybody can do about it, least of all Congress. Well, there is something, and Twyla Braze, who's the president for the Citizens Council for Health Freedom, is doing something about it. She created something called The Wedge. Listen as she explains what it is and what it can be.
We're building an alternative infrastructure of freedom for patients and doctors. In 2016, we launched the Wedge of Health Freedom, which can be found at jointhewedge.com. This is a place that lists all the doctors who are no longer involved with government or insurance companies, and they receive cash, check, or charge from patients. So they have a direct, private, contractual relationship with the patient. It's patient-friendly, it's pocketbook-friendly, and it's privacy-friendly. And this is our way of bringing the practice of medicine back to where it should be. It's our way of returning simplicity and affordability and patient friendliness, as well as a confidential patient-doctor relationship back to the practice of medicine, back to healthcare. This is our way of saving patients and doctors from the system of today, which does not care, is not kind, and is not compassionate. When you walk into the office of a doctor on the Wedge, you will know right away exactly what the prices are. You will be paying either monthly or you will be paying per service. But there will be no overlay of costs from extra paperwork or billing or CPT codes or trying to get permission from your insurance company. It's all just between you and the doctor, making it affordable and making it personable and friendly.
The Wedge grows every day, and more people should know about it. To learn more, visit the Citizens Council for Health Freedom at cchfreedom.org or click on the Big Brother in the Exam Room banner. That's Twyla's book at thebobdavispodcasts.com. I've been podcasting for a while, and I did radio for many, many years before I started doing podcasting. All kinds of different jobs in radio, from mowing the lawn and soldering all the way up to being the program director and operations manager and on air and everything else. So when I started doing podcasts, I had to learn it from the ground up. It wasn't easy, but I had that radio experience behind me to kind of lead me down that path. And one of the things that I have encountered as a podcaster these days, especially when you network or talk to people who, don't know anything about your radio career, which is, by the way, no big deal. I don't want people to know about my radio career, right? They'll say, you do podcasts. Oh, yeah, that's what I do. Oh, I want to do my own podcast. What do I do? Or if they're in business, they believe that if they do their own podcast, that it will help their business. And then they want to know how much it will cost for me to help them do their own podcast. So for a couple of years now, people out there have realized that there are 500,000 podcasts and of varying levels of quality, and people have gone into business, quote unquote, helping people to do their own podcast. They'll tell you what equipment to buy. They'll, at all these different levels to do this. And I think part of it is this is the most common question podcasters get. It's the most common question in podcasting because people see you doing it and they think, well, this is just some guy. I can do it too because I could do it too. And I'm not making a value judgment because there are people who can and are people who would be really successful doing it as a podcaster. And I want to make that clear. I've debated whether to do this podcast because I don't want to give people the wrong impression that I'm some kind of jerk that just thinks I'm the greatest thing ever and that no one could ever do what I do. That is not where I'm coming from. So again, there are people who can do their own media for their business. So this is not a value judgment about people that do have that capability. But is it the right thing to do? So that is what we're going to talk about in this podcast. And that's what I, that was kind of the idea when I originally thought this out. First of all, What is it that I do as a podcaster? And I think this is pretty consistent with people who've been podcasting for a while, whether it is Joe Rogan or somebody that you don't know. What do? I create content. I do podcasts, and then I sell advertising in those podcasts to clients. So my service is providing access to the audience that I have built up since 2009 with my unique content, such as it is. So I provide access to my tribe for a fee. I do not help people do podcasts, and I will not help you do a podcast. In fact, I recommend to my clients that they do not try to do their own media. Why? Why would you say that to people, Bob Davis? Well, the truth is that, again, there are probably now over 500,000 podcasts. So that means there is a podcast ecosystem with really almost, you know, hundreds of thousands of resident podcasts. So hours and hours, millions of minutes of programming that is available on iTunes, Stitcher.com, Google Play, Google Podcasts. Well, Google Play is gone, but Google Podcasts on the Google Podcast app and millions of other services that put podcasts together and sell you know, advertising or access to all those podcasts. Those are called aggregators, and there's a lot of them. Or syndication services like Lisbon, there's a lot of them. And they have created a podcast ecosystem in which people make a quick buck by helping other people do a podcast. And I'm not going to get into it, but I host my own podcast at my own website for a reason. Don't need to go through that in this podcast. But what they're doing is the people, and I guess what I want to talk about specifically are these people who have now started these businesses where, kind of like the, hey, we'll help you record a video for your wedding, or we'll be wedding videographers instead of photographers. Back in the day, there were a lot of people that did that, and they started production companies where they shot people's videos, wedding videos, because the people that in the wedding didn't want to shoot their own video. And so now they've moved on, and they're going to help themselves because they're going to charge you a fee to provide the equipment or tell you what to buy in terms of equipment or help you build your home studio or set your podcast up on the internet or whatever. And most of the time, if it's cheap, it's going to be cheap services. And if it's good, it's not going to be cheap. What is the idea behind this? Well, the idea behind this is people who could be good content creators probably aren't very good at the technology. So we're going to provide that for people. And, you know, they're going to charge you month to month to both host and provide you with the technology and the tools to be able to do a podcast. The idea is, I'm an accountant. I'm a really good accountant. I have a pretty good accounting business. But I'm pretty cheeky, and my wife says I'm really funny, and when I hang out with my friends on the weekends, I'm usually the funniest guy in the room. I tell great jokes. I could do a podcast, you know, and it would be great. Business writers, by the way, who don't know anything most of the time, are telling people, you should do a podcast for your business. You can put audio on your page. It'll help you grow your business and get the word out. It'll help your SEO. It'll be great. And this is what people think that podcasters do. And again, lately there have been a few of these services that are digitally marketed. They friend all the podcasters on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and then push ads to all of their associates, their subscribers and so forth, which I can't stand. I hate it when people friend you and then they send their information to all your friends and they don't know your friends. It drives me crazy. Anyway, here's why I don't recommend and why I'm such a bad person. If a client wants me to help them do their own podcast, why not provide that service? And I did do a proposal for one person that I know that actually would be a content creator. And I'm not even sure. I mean, it was very expensive because when I actually sat down and figured out what it would cost me to help this person, I decided that, it's going to be almost prohibitively expensive. So again, I started out the podcast talking about radio experience. Why? Because radio teaches you how to create and curate content. And also, generally speaking, how to market what you're doing. So if you've been in any kind of competitive business like radio or television, broadcast, you were in a very competitive environment and you learned, how to handle an extremely competitive environment. podcasting is trillions of times more competitive than broadcasting ever was. So in the average market, even the major markets that I worked in, like, you know, New York or Chicago, there are 100 radio stations. So if you're doing a podcast, there's 500,000 podcasts. If you're doing a business-only podcast, there are literally hundreds of thousands of people doing business-only podcasts. Some of them are really good. Some of them aren't so good. So you're going to be literally spitting into the wind. So you have to have some experience in extremely competitive environments, and most radio and TV people do. So we understand that kind of an environment. So there are so many podcasts, and the winning podcasts today are the ones that get a tremendous amount of listens and subscribes are actually produced like TV shows. They're actually the most successful podcasts are put together by National Public Radio or by companies that have experience creating TV series. So they are written, they are presented, and they are produced. They have production teams. So there's a producer, there's an associate producer, there's a tech, there's a guy that edits it, puts it together, and they find a name. So they'll find somebody who is a super successful business consultant and is a pretty good talker, and they'll say, you have a great name. We will pay you to do a podcast, and we will have somebody write it. You can help us figure out what kind of topics you want to talk about. We will write it. We will produce it. We will digitally market. We will script it, produce it, and the name never sees the digital audio interface, never has to write code to get the podcast syndicated, never has to deal with the day that the website goes down or deal with podcast syndicators or anything else, or digitally market what has been produced or buy any equipment. He just goes into a studio in New York City or San Francisco or wherever he is and records 20 minutes of copy, and if he screws something up or she screws something up, they take that out, edit it, put it together, and it's a podcast, and it's fully up-produced. That's extremely expensive. And moreover, extremely expensive to digitally market that piece of work. So meanwhile, back to our accountant, who is the life of the party in his neighborhood in Burnsville, Minnesota. Playing in the studio is fun. So I love to come down to my studio and record stuff and play and so forth. Buying the equipment is fun. There's a learning curve because a lot of the equipment that's produced for people to do stuff in their house, whether it's music or audio, is crap. So you go through a learning curve and you buy crap, and then you figure out that you bought a piece of junk microphone. You got to get another one. Should you use reverb, not reverb, setting it all up? That's a lot of fun if you like doing that. A lot of times people that really want to do this used to be in a band, so they have some familiarity with the mixer and with effects and things like that, but they haven't done it in a long time, and so they have to go through this learning curve. If you like that, great. I mean, people do that. I have had guests on the many radio shows I've done, and they always said, boy, this is so much fun. I wish I had your job. That's what they would say. And after they leave, I'd say to my partner or the engineer or something, I'd say, yeah, what a great business this is. I wish I had your job. I wish I had your business, you know, because radio is not a great business. But when you're in the studio and you're having fun, that's why we all did it, because it was fun. But the life is like working in the circus, basically. It's a terrible business. And people didn't realize you don't want this life. It's a terrible life being in radio. It's fun to be in radio. It's a great business, but it's a harsh life. Television producers work 24 hours a day. It looks really cool, and it is, but you have to make a commitment, an emotional and spiritual commitment to those businesses, because it sucks up all of your time and it sucks up 100% of your life. So if you're the kind of person that lives in your hometown and you have high school friends and you have family and that's important to you, and you get into television or radio, you're not going to see those people. So, and they're not going to see you. So again, if you have an accounting business and you spend too much time away from that accounting business, what happens to the accounting business? So doing a podcast yourself, while it is fun, also includes a pretty harsh learning curve, which is huge. You learn and you make mistakes and you drive yourself crazy, and it literally is a full-time job. And again, I had a lifetime of radio experience behind it, which, by the way, had nothing to do with digital. So I had to learn all the digital stuff, and I have had to learn all the digital marketing stuff. So I know how to create content. I know how to do podcasts, but I wouldn't tell you, and I'm going to, at least from my experience, but I wouldn't tell you, I wouldn't begin to tell you. I wouldn't begin to do a podcast about the efficacy of digital marketing. I would go to somebody who knows digital marketing to interview, to talk about that stuff, because I don't know it as much as I know content creation, and I mean specifically the kind of content that I do in these podcasts. And then we get into, so you're the accountant, you got this business, you want to do a podcast that's going to help your accounting business. There is this question of content itself. Why should somebody pick your podcast to be in their listening queue when they've got the Mystery Podcast, they've got Joe Rogan, or they've got, you know, Adam Carolla's podcast, or somebody else they like, and somebody else they like, and then poor little old me, or poor little old local podcaster? Here's what's going to happen. We used to say that everybody has one great radio show in them. That first show that you do on the radio is amazing. They would bring people in to fill in at the talk radio station, and they would be great. And everyone would go, God, that police chief was fantastic. And the first show is usually amazing because guess what? You have all this content that you've never, you know, shared with the rest of the world. You tell a funny story. You tell a bunch of funny stories. You have all these amazing insights that you've had your whole life. People call in and they tell you that you're amazing. It's incredible. Friends and family can't believe how good you sounded, and you have this great emotional experience. And then tomorrow comes and you have to go back in the studio and do it again at 5 o'clock in the morning. And then the next day, and the next, and a month later, you're still doing it. And guess what? You've exhausted every bit of content that you have ever come up with in your whole life. And now you have to start coming up with content that is going to reach a broad audience. No one tells you that when you fill in at the radio station. And we saw it once. If we saw it once, we saw it 100 times. Maybe 0.5% of the people that do that end up as radio hosts or television hosts. Most of the time, they do a few shows and they go, this is ridiculous. It's really hard. Because coming up with content that reaches people on a broad scale is really difficult to do unless you've been doing it and you know how to do it. Well, that's what podcasting is like. I drive myself crazy trying to figure out what to talk about and how to talk about it and why I want to talk about it that way. Your plan, let's say if you're in business, to have all your friends out somewhere and record your amazing conversation and promote your business will be good for one podcast. But then what happens when you get to do podcast 300? What are you going to be doing for that one? Now, I just want to very quickly say that I have 4 clients bought advertising on podcasts for clients. I go back and forth with this. I don't like to do it because it's a lot of work. I have had clients where I look for podcasts for them to post for content. So I've reviewed a lot of podcast content. Most of it is unlistenable. Most podcasts are not very good, and it gets worse. They sound bad. They're not well produced. They ramble. They're not focused. And I'm sure people probably listen to my podcast, some people, and say, I can't stand that guy. He never talks about stuff I'm interested in. And that's fine. That's the whole great thing about podcasting is if they like it, they listen to it. So those people have people listening to them. But when it comes to actually promoting a business, when it comes to actually making an impression on potential buyers of your service, well, it's a dangerous equation. I'm going to talk about that because I know most of the people doing these podcasts are probably good mechanics or accountants or lawyers or whatever it is they do in their normal walk of life, but they aren't good communicators and they may not be good content creators and they probably aren't very good podcasters. And here's the thing, 15 years ago, it didn't matter. There are people podcasting now. There are people doing great YouTube videos now that started 15 years ago and became very famous, and they monetized, but they wouldn't have a chance if they started now. 15 years ago, the first people on YouTube that did smoky eyes makeup videos monetized up the yin-yang. The young woman who did workout pics on Instagram at the beginning of Instagram became very wealthy doing it, but if she started it now, there are thousands, literally thousands of beautiful young women doing pictures of their workouts and taking, you know, DSLR, you know, quality pictures of how they look after their workouts. And it's basically wallpaper. So you could do it 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 5 years ago. You can't do it now. And that is the way it is with podcasting. Now, we're talking about business. I know a lot of people actually still work for a living, especially people who do physical labor. If you are injured at work, listen up, because this message is for you. So when you get injured at work, what do you do? Most people handle the insurance and the workers' comp claims by themselves through the personnel department or something to that effect at the business. And it's important, if you are doing that kind of work, to keep this number aside somewhere. It might be a good idea to have somebody like John D. Scott of Hoffman, Hamer & Associates available to you. John is a great personal injury lawyer. Here's his number, 952-683-1351. It's 952-683-1351. Now, it's true that an accident usually comes without warning, especially at work, because you're working, you're focused on getting the job done, and you're not ready. John shares stories with me about how he has helped people. And one of the things that's been happening a lot is that people will get hurt at work, and they're hurt pretty bad. And after a couple of days, the work will call and say, you're not hurt that bad, you need to come in. And they go back to work, and they are hurt, and it's something that continues to be a problem for them. So what John D. Scott of Hoffman, Hamer & Associates does is make sure that you can navigate this thicket of insurance benefits, medical bills, workers' comp, and so forth to get the help you need so that you don't go back to work too soon and that you can do that and not have to worry about losing your job. Call John D. Scott at Hoffman, Hamer & Associates at 952-683-1351, 952-683-1351. Or you can actually click on the banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com or visit JDSinjuryLaw.com. That's his website. And there is a contact page on John's website for you to share the details of your problem with John D. Scott, personal injury attorney at Hoffman, Hamer & Associates right here in Minnesota. Now, let's talk about marketing a little bit, and this is an area that I'm not as experienced in, but I think that I have some observations from the people that I work with as well as people that I'm associated with, and I can share some of those, and I again, hope that they're on the mark. You guys doing digital marketing and other stuff, if you comment, or, you know, I appreciate it if you send me an email, say, hey, you're right about this, you're not right about that, that's fine. But here's the thing in modern marketing. For most businesses, especially local businesses, it's all about search performance, and it's all about Google search, right? Your business needs web content and search optimization, so you have to have a website, and that website has to be optimized so that when a person types in fantastic accountant in Burnsville, Minnesota, your business is going to come up first or second so that they can click on it. And then when they click on it, they have to have an experience that convinces them that maybe they should send you an email. Most people under 40 today do not want to call you. They want to search and find the information on your business and make a decision in their own time about whether they're going to use your accounting services or not. So your website is basically a storefront. Your website is the most important thing that you have on the internet. Your social media is very important, because if they pull up your Facebook page and you got a bunch of posts up there about how much you hate Muslims, let's say, or some silly thing that you did, or a picture of you at the party with your friends wearing the blonde wig, they might think, yeah, I don't think that's very good for an accountant. You know, so a lot of times businesses, their personal Facebook page will be their Facebook page. This is the kind of stuff we should know, but a lot of times we don't take care of it because we're too busy being what? We're too busy being an accountant. So that process is a process that we pay digital marketers to do for us. It's still advertising, though, and it's still basically designed to create awareness, trial, usage, and loyalty, or what they call these days the funnel, where people see something, they click on it, they go in, and then they are funneled down to the buying process. If you're selling a sophisticated service like legal or accounting or something to that effect, to get them to buy is a complicated process, because they have to say, okay, I'm going to go take my car in to get my windshield replaced, or I'm going to call this lawyer because my landlord is ripping me off, or whatever the deal is. Let me give you some examples of what happens when you do it yourself. And these I've made up. These aren't necessarily any people that I know, but they're taken from my experience. The academic that the company paid $10,000 to make YouTube videos sitting in front of a whiteboard with one student at a linoleum table to explain what the product is, that were 10 minutes at least. And the student was somebody who was important in that product category that was supposed to be an influential. And the comment was, you know, we're going to put this on the website. And I said, do not put that video on your website, first of all. Second of all, oh, we're not going to do that. We're going to put it on our Facebook page. And I was like, do not put that on your Facebook page. And I'll tell you why in a second. Here's another example. The friend of the CEO, who's a real good guy when it comes to internet stuff, who creates a landing page for the company, let's say for specific categories. So the company's, you know, sophisticated enough to know you got to have a landing page for specific categories to funnel them into buying. And the guy who knows, the friend or relative who's really good at internet stuff, creates landing pages that are 14 pages long. That's not a landing page. And anybody who does that kind of stuff will tell you. The trend toward Facebook Live. How many times do I have to talk about this? So here's what Facebook Live is for. Facebook Live is for when the train that goes by your house on the train tracks in front of your house carrying gasoline goes off the tracks and explodes, and you happen to be sitting on your front porch with your phone when that happens, and people are flying through the air, or you are sitting in your backyard and you have a very large backyard with an open field, and you see an A300 coming down at a fast rate of speed, and you whip your phone out and start recording, and the plane crashes in your backyard. That's when you go Facebook Live. That is going to get you millions of views. You're going to be on Good Morning America. It's going to be great. That's what Facebook Live is for. Facebook Live is not for promoting your business. And people will say, I went on Facebook Live and I got 4,000 hits. And here's what they don't know. So if you put something on Facebook, Facebook is going to tell you that 450 people saw this thing that you put up on Facebook. And then you click on the analytics and you will go down and you will see what they clicked on. And usually about 1% or less than 1% of the people who saw it will click on your website. And if you're selling something on your website, they have to then go through the website to buy your product. So Facebook Live, and especially videos on Facebook, it says 4,000 people saw this video. And I've experimented with this because I've done videos to promote podcasts. And, guys who listen to me, you've seen me do these videos. I haven't done one in a while because usually I do them in the field and it's snowing out there. Anyway, it'll say 890 people saw this video. And you know what? Nobody clicked on the website. So if I'm selling something on my website, that does me no good. So I have another means of getting people to click on the website because I'm selling clicks. I'm selling views of the podcast. I'm getting people to download the podcast. That's my objective. Your objective is to sell a legal service or to sell a windshield or to sell a house or whatever. Just because somebody saw the video doesn't do you any good. In fact, and as you'll see here later on in this podcast, it may really hurt you. Here's another example. The guy who posts, this is a guy who had, don't know him, but he had a business, you know, I don't know if you guys are aware of a company called WeWork. So they have, co-working space and it's beautiful. I mean, they've got, you know, it's just, their marketing is amazing. They have great pictures and great videos and it's just fantastic. All of it, Instagram, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, or anywhere else you see it on the internet, they've done a phenomenal job of promoting WeWork. At a very high volume, in other words, lots of volume of advertisements so you can see it and experience the whole WeWork thing. And it's all designed for you to go down there and talk to them and just go visit and look and see, because then they lay out, they have people there who will lay out all the packages that you have available to you for WeWork. So this is a guy who had a old style office co-working facility. And his answer to the WeWork, he wanted to do his own marketing. I have a guy who does this for me. It's a friend of mine. And it was a picture on LinkedIn with a blurry, unprofessional picture that wasn't properly sized, taken on, you know, probably a flip phone. And it said, we rent workspaces to clients And then you have a picture of this cheap wooden IKEA desk, which is not properly sized, and an empty bookshelf and a phone. But hey, the person that did that advertising for the guy is a relative, and she really knew what she was doing. Because he didn't want to pay a digital marketer or somebody that knew what they were doing, or an ad agency, God forbid, to actually produce a concept for them. Here's another one. The manufacturer, and not my client, by the way, who built, you know, wanted, I build my own websites. I'm not paying some web developer to do this. They don't know what they're doing. I'm going to build it. So here's what you got. You got a WordPress site that's not sized properly with poor graphics, different typefaces. So the headline is written in one typeface, and then some kind of content is written in another typeface, too small, runs across the page. And then, of course, there is all manufacturers, motorcycle companies, and everything else. And it, by the way, this is not my client. This was somebody else. Use the eagle in some way, shape, or form. They have to have an eagle, especially if they're on the right of the political spectrum. They happen to have an eagle on their website. So here's the obligatory eagle on the website with the American flag that doesn't make any sense. And then the whole explanation of what they do with a million links to different pages because, you know, this guy knew all about WordPress. And the graphic designer or somebody who knows how to put that together is just shaking their head. Here's another one. The basement leak specialist, whose website hasn't been updated since 2004, and a video that's up there from 2004 that was poorly shot, poorly lit, that was actually pretty good, but it has been up there since 2004. So here's what happens. I need something. My basement's leaking. What do? I'll go online and do basement leak specialist in Burnsville. And this comes up, and I see that. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go, I forgot that. Because I've done it. I need a light for an ambulance. Here's where can I go? Nope, I'm not going there. You know, what you see makes a decision about how far you're going to go from there. So there will be people who can do videos and podcasts, and there will be people who can do their own media, their own digital marketing, all of that stuff. But on the main, most of them, a vast percentage of them, will not be able to do it right. And here's the other thing, and this is what I really wanted to say at the end of this, is bad advertising will hurt your business more than good advertising will help it, and it's irreparable. That example of a national company that's got a bunch of sales guys and scientists doing their marketing, they are failing. And if they want to save that company, what's going to eventually have to happen? They've got a great product, but what's eventually going to have to happen is they are going to have to spend millions rebranding and starting over with a new name. You guys are going to have to rebrand the whole thing. We got our own. We got this. Okay. So that's what's happening. So what seems to be a good idea for an accountant who has a great business and wants to grow it might actually be a terrible idea. I talked about Facebook Live. People ask me about YouTube. I have a YouTube channel. It's terrible. And I don't talk about it and I don't promote it because I only use it for travel stuff. And I'm not doing anything with it because here's why. Every radio guy in America goes on YouTube, and what is it? It's a bad video with bad lighting in their crappy little studio with them in front of a microphone. And as being radio guys, we always pipe in the audio from the microphone with all the compression. So it sounds, you know, yeah, this is what it's, you know, this is amazing. And it's terrible. It's terrible. And no one is going to watch that. Because why? Because there is tons of really well-produced political content, social content, or content about anything that you're interested in on YouTube. Another one are these people that are RV life people that travel the country in RVs. 5 years ago, you know, you could take your iPhone and drive around the country with your RV. I did it, and all my videos are up on the page. They're terrible, but you know, you can do that. Now what's happening is I know somebody that's doing this. You know, they've got a brand new RV and they're traveling all over the country and they're doing the whole RV lifestyle. And there's an RV life Instagram page, and there's, you know, and these, the pictures are professionally produced. These people are traveling with a camera crew. So they've got their RV and there's an RV behind them with three guys in it. There's an audio guy, there's a video guy, and there's a producer who does all the editing and puts the video out. So that they, and they've got a drone on top of that, so somebody's got to fly the drone, right? So it becomes extremely important if you want to have a business and you're going to do Facebook video or you're going to do video on YouTube, You can't just put pictures of you up doing stuff. You got to have that stuff professionally produced so that it's lit right and it sells. Because the days of the Wild West of the internet where you could put up a picture of a car and sell it are gone. I'll give you another example. There are a couple of companies that sell cars on the internet, and there are also there's an auto trader, but then there is also an RV trader. So you know how much I love RVs. At one point, I said to somebody, I tried to sell advertising to an RV dealer, and they said, we've got the RV trader, and we don't need that. And so I talked to my friend who works for one of these national companies that sells cars over the internet. And he told me, here's the thing. He goes, what they are doing is they are paying a fortune for basically Yellow Pages, because here's the thing about what we do. This is what we actually do when we sell a car on a national basis across the country. All of us have regions. So if there's a picture of a Volkswagen Passat on the website, and you click on it, and you want to buy that Passat, and you get a thing, and it clicks out to a dealer in your neighborhood, let's say, and it's a, you know, it's a 2015 Passat, you know, metallic blue with all the stuff on it that you want. He said, when you go over there, that Passat's going to be on the lot. But that's not what's going to happen with some of these other services, because that's not how they work. And that's a good example of how complex things have gotten, where it used to be 20 years ago or 10 years ago, you could do this stuff, but you can't do it anymore. So ask yourself, what would be better for my business? Would I doing my own podcast or buying advertising in the form of live endorsements like on this podcast or on 7 or 8 great local or even national podcasts, depending on your product or service? Now, doing that is going to cost you money. Or doing your own YouTube videos with terrible video and worse audio, poorly shot, bad lighting, poorly conceived, no makeup because it's television. Or finding influencers who are already paying the cost to have the great makeup and the lighting and everything else and curating great content day after day after day and professionally producing videos or podcasts. Now, I will tell you that doing that is not cheap. You are not going to get that for free. But the thing is, if you do it yourself and it's bad, it's going to do irreparable harm to your business. Because here's the thing, advertising is not cheap. In order to be effective, it has to be done right and it has to be done consistently. And the most important thing for small business essentially is search performance. And most of that is done with your social media and your website. And associating with influencers like me helps your search performance and tells your story. Getting people who understand digital marketing to make that work for you. Yeah, it costs money every month, but scaling up is not going to be possible without spending the money on what works and then buying more of it. Now, if you're in business and you want help with that, glad to do that. But I don't recommend that people do their own podcasts. Well, I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast that it is really cold and winter in Minnesota is when we usually have heating or plumbing problems. If you do at business or at home, what do you want? You want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. The number is 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. If you go to ryanplumbing.com, you're going to see a great website with lots of great content and good graphics and everything else. What do? They do quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems for home or business, because when it comes to keeping all these systems running right, especially at home or even the business, when you have plumbing or heating problems or any other kind of problem related to that, you want reliable service and they will take care of it, especially their customers. They're on it. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They are metro-wide from St. Paul, so they can hit northeast, southwest, across the river in St. Paul or in Minneapolis. Give them a call or check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. I got to mention very quickly our printing at the Bob Davis Podcast, and there's lots of printing because there's lots of content is from Cartridge World, because they can save you 30% compared to the big box stores on your print cartridges, and they're guaranteed to perform as good as new. You've heard me say I like my Cartridge World cartridges better because they actually perform better, in my opinion. Free delivery on qualifying orders. Call them at 763-420-6632, Cartridge World in Maple Grove, or click on the banner at the top of the page at the Bob Davis Podcast.com. All right. Appreciate you listening. If you guys want to talk about podcasting, I'm always available. Love to talk about it, but I'm not going to help you do your own podcast. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on iTunes and subscribing on iTunes or right off the page at the Bob Davis Podcast. Yes, we are on all those services, Stitcher.com, the Google Podcast app, TuneIn, and so forth and so on. Also on Facebook and Twitter, although not Facebook Live. Thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command as well. And I'll tell you more about that in a future podcast at thebobdavispodcast.com. Who we got the Steve's Hotholics and now we rock it. You can't stop it. Don't know. It's a little rehearsed, but you can't stop it because it's a little.